I'll be reading from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
In the reading that Mike has just completed, Jesus read from Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 2. These verses were understood by the Jews as a prophecy of God's promised Messiah. That Messiah, or the Anointed One, was the King who God would send to free the Jews from the rule and the oppression of non-Jews. When you look at these two verses in particular that we find there, verses 18 and 19, as they repeat Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2, you find that no one would assume this role or this task. Instead, God would anoint this person for the role, and he would commission the person for the task. So that person's actions would be under God's direction and God's control, and the task would be accomplished by God's power. When Jesus said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing," Jesus proclaimed himself to be God's Messiah. These verses and Jesus' proclamation encompassed his ministry, his teachings, and his life. When you and I go shopping, whether it's for food or for medication, one of the things that we look for, probably right after the price of the item, and maybe right before the ingredients of the item, is the expiration date on the item. Because we know if it has to do with food, if it's past its expiration date, and we consume it, it can make us sick. And if it's medication and it's past its expiration date, it can be just worthless and have no effect. When we think carefully about verses 18 and 19 of this passage in Luke 4, we realize that there is no expiration date on Jesus' ministry. He demonstrated God's compassionate love in human form, in part, by healing people, as is reflected in Matthew chapter 4 and in verses 23 through 25, where it says, "Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all who were ill with various diseases, those suffering severe pain, the demon-possessed, the epileptics, and the paralytics, and he healed them all. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him." One scholar has observed, "Modern man is embarrassed by the presence of the miracle stories in the Bible, and particularly perhaps relating to Jesus. He may even applaud the various attempts that have been made to get rid of this element in the narratives by rationalistic devices. The search for the historical Jesus, he is convinced, must take account of the fact that the first century was unscientific and prone to attribute to the supernatural causes things we can now satisfactorily explain on a natural basis. What cannot be so easily explained may be justifiably ignored as unreliable. Those who reject or explain away the miracles of Jesus, though, seldom realize that logically they are endorsing an atheistic, pessimistic view of history. They exclude the guarantee and therefore the hope of the triumph of righteousness. Jesus' miracles proved that he was from God. They gave authority to his teachings. Jesus' miracles were reasonable. Jesus did not turn mountains upside down, nor did he cause fish to walk on land. He did only what aligned with God the Father's loving character, loving purposes, and loving care for people. So Jesus' miracles were useful, they were gracious, and they met human needs. It's the compassion and the power behind Jesus' miracles that have timeless value for you and me. They show God caring about each person, and they show God's ability to overcome everything. Again, a scholar suggests that this business about Jesus' miracles have greater value than we may realize when he observes how greatly reduced a Christ we would have in terms of love and goodwill toward men if the miracles were removed. But Jesus also demonstrated God's compassionate love by feeding people by the thousands, and that on more than one occasion. He demonstrated God's compassionate love by encouraging people toward the very best things that God had for them. He demonstrated God's compassionate love by including, accepting people of all types, as we read about in Luke chapter 5, and there in verses 27 through 32. There we read this: "After this, Jesus went out and saw a tax collector by the name of Levi sitting at his tax booth. 'Follow me,' Jesus said to him, and Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Then Levi held a great banquet for Jesus at his house, and a large crowd of tax collectors and others were eating with them. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged to their sect complained to his disciples, 'Why do you eat and drink with the tax collectors and sinners?' Jesus answered them, 'It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'" Since you and I need all of these expressions of God's love in our lives, it's obvious that there is no expiration date on the value of Jesus' ministry. In the same way, there's no expiration date on the value of Jesus' teachings. He spoke only God's truth. He testified that God's word is truth. And through his teaching, he brought God the Father's good news of salvation to all people, whoever they were. Jesus contrasted God's people-centered values with human rule-centered values. He gave many examples of this in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 through 7. But we see Jesus practicing his Father's values in a poignant event that occurs in Luke chapter 13, and there in verses 10 through 17, where we read, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." Who wouldn't? Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things he was doing. This is just one of many times that Jesus affirmed the value of all people in God's sight by what he did as well as by what he said. He called people to obey God in faith and in love for the sake of their eternal lives. His teaching was authoritative. It was wise. It was simple. And it was concrete. And we see that in Mark, in chapter 1, in verses 21 through 28. There we read, "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teachings." Why? Because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in the synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him." And news spread about him quickly over the whole region of Galilee. Again, another scholar observes, the words of this preeminent teacher are not simply wise sayings calculated to strengthen and better one's life. They are words filled with destiny. To ignore them means ruin. These very words will judge such people in the last days. This is what the Bible claims to be true. It is then true that there is no expiration date on the value of Jesus' teachings, because the judgment day has yet to come. Jesus' ministry and teachings were not done, though, as you and I might do a job. When you and I sign on for whatever place it is that we work, whatever the nature of our work is, we look at it, for the most part, as a place where we can not only accomplish something, but it's a place that's going to benefit us. We're going to be paid for that job. Hopefully there's some benefits that go with that job. But that job is a job. We do it in a detached way from our lives, from our character, from our beliefs, and from our commitments. That's what's going on in the rest of our life. But Jesus' ministry and teachings were exemplified in his life because they were his life. Since Jesus lived his ministry and teachings, there's no expiration date on the value of Jesus' life. He lived sacrificially and lovingly as humanity's servant. He once told a would-be follower, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." And on another occasion he told his followers, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Although Jesus was God's Son, co-creator of all things with his Father, and although he was God's promised king to save everyone who would believe in him and obey him, and although he had all power from God the Father, Jesus lived humbly, obediently, and faithfully as God's supreme servant. In Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 18, we find this said of Jesus: "In bringing many sons to glory, it was fitting that God, for whom and through whom everything exists, should make the author of their salvation perfect through suffering. Both the one who makes men holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers. He says, 'I will declare your name to my brothers. In the presence of the congregation, I will sing your praises.' And again, 'I will put my trust in him.' And again he says, 'Here I am, and the children God has given me.' Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free from those who for all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. The writer continues in chapter 4 of Hebrews and verse 15 to say this. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. The text Jesus read of Isaiah chapter 61 and verses 1 through 2 had meaning for 700 years before Jesus was born. And it had meaning on through Jesus' life. Those mentioned in that reading, the poor, like the prisoners, the blind, and the oppressed, are not only the unfortunate of this world, but those who have special need of dependence on God. When you think about who's spoken of in those two verses, you realize that billions of people on the face of our earth today continue to be in those circumstances. So what Jesus as Savior was to do is still needed and still welcomed. There is no expiration date on Jesus' value. Last Sunday, I challenged each of us to tell one person how Jesus is relevant in your life and theirs. I'd like to see a showing of hands of those who did that this past week. Who did that? Thank you. Appreciate that. And I hope that that will be something that if you didn't do this past week, you'll do this coming week. But I want to give you another challenge. And the challenge this week is to tell just one person why Jesus continues to be relevant because of his ministry, his teachings, and his life. And I'll ask you for a showing of hands next week on that as well. Jesus lived at the center of God's will. So his ministry, his teachings, and his life give us hope for both the present as well as for the future. Our hope, personally, is confirmed when we humble ourselves to God to obey him and become his child. Have you done that? Will you take that step this morning? If we can aid you in any way, we urge you to come forward right now as we stand and sing this song.